It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It's Thursday already.
It is. Here we are.
I could never tell until you people come in, and then I go, it must be Thursday.
Must be Thursday if we're sitting next to you drinking beer.
Mr. Mark Carpenter, who started at Anchor in San Francisco in 71.
Yep.
And is with us every Thursday, of course, and her Linda is with us. It's the Drive Hop, Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Today we're featuring the guys from Bear Republic, which is such an iconic brewery and more. And now they've got the place on Roberts Lake Road, which used to be Latitudes. But that place is happening.
Brunner Park.
I'm so glad you scored that. Introduce our guests.
So, this is actually super exciting. Big transitions going on here. And we have Richard Norgrove Jr., Ricardo here, now CEO of Bear Republic.
Your dad just retired.
He did. We're about 8 months into this now. And it's been a big transition for me and for the whole company to see. I guess the hardest part I will tell you guys has been the change of title. I've taken on founding brewmaster, and we've made a lot of changes within the company ourselves. And we've got a new marketing director who's here today, Jeremy. Peter Kruger, who has been with me for, I stopped counting after about 15, 16 years, who was been and will continue to be my right-hand, left-hand man. And he has taken on the role of COO and is our master brewer.
So. Wow. Mark, talk about Bear Republic, because as I said, they've become really iconic.
They make great beer, simple as that. I think you guys started out in Healdsburg with the brew pub there, right?
That's right.
And their Racer 5 is just a classic IPA. It's a great beer. Richard and I met years and years ago before he got in the beer business.
That's right. It's a great story. Do you mind if I tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
We love dirt on Mark
Carpenter.
Okay,
perfect. You guys, I was working at a mountain bike manufacturer, and here I have Mark comes in, and I didn't know who he was. He asks me, can he make some parts for his Moto Guzzi? And he was Moto Guzzi and Ducati.
No, it was a Triton I was building.
There you go.
Yeah. So
that must be a motorcycle, right?
Yes.
Okay, geek alert out there.
That's our love, the affection that we both have. He wanted some clip-ons and rear sets, and
whoa.
Those are special.
I don't think you can say clip-ons and rear sets on the radio.
Is this a spice store?
Yeah, it could be.
What is that?
Long time ago, too, back in the early 90s. So, you guys, just to make this story even longer or shorter, however we want to go, he hands me his card, and on there it says Brewmaster Ankerstein. And at that point in time, I was extremely awestruck, and it gave me the opportunity to actually ask the question, how do I get in the beer industry? And then you set me on a really good path after many conversations, and we've been friends for years. We've had the pleasure of judging together some of the first times. I think your first time. I mean, just been really a good mentor over the years and someone that I could call and just ask
and
questions.
And whatever happened to Salsa Bicycle? It was such a cool place, this bicycle shop. And they did a little machine work and powder coating. It was really a cool little place.
You know, Ross Schaefer was instrumental in allowing me to build original homebrew kits for the beverage people, and that's what got me into the industry. And then obviously just meeting great people through Mark too.
The beverage people were just in last week.
We had them on last week, actually.
So I used to build custom I'll call them roll cages, but it was the portions of the brew kits where all of the brew stands. And I wasn't good enough to weld bicycles, but to answer your question, what happened with Salsa is Salsa kind of went through the same transition that's going on in the beer industry these days. Yeah. And so I got to see it early on in my career where a larger company came in, a Chinese manufacturer bought our brand. I was there for part of the transition. It actually allowed me the opportunity and afforded me the opportunity to become an apprentice brewer.
Yep.
So Salsa is now Chinese owned. I hate to say it's not made here in the U.S. anymore.
I'll be damned.
But Ross did a good job, and he was able to move on from that,
No, I'm just saying stay on mic, please.
Yes, sir.
You panicked.
Yes, sir. For a moment. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do there. Okay.
I noticed that. Yeah, I just pointed stuff from time to time.
To wrap it up, so our friendship goes way back. And then when he opened the brewery, which I thought was really pretty cool that he actually went ahead with his plans and opened this brewery. And it was a great place, you know. I actually made it up there a few times. I have not made it to the Rohnert Park one yet, but I have made it to Healdsburg a few times.
Please come be my guest.
You know, you guys know I don't go out much, so but I did make it there.
So how long has it been now, Bear Republic?
Well, we incorporated in 1995. We were supposed to open in 95, so we're coming up on 25 years here, guys, so we're getting close.
That was about 20th anniversary party. That was a rager. That was super fun.
It was. And 25, obviously, it's got an increment of 5. Okay. We got to do something special for that. And, so.
And in that time in between, like you had the restaurant downtown Healdsburg, which is awesome, that truffle burger, oh, my God. And they're still doing barrels in there. And then you built a production brewery in Cloverdale.
Yes.
Then the Lakeside Rohnert Park, which has like bocce ball and like cornhole, indoor, outdoor, you know, palm trees right on the lake. Doors all open up. It's like the perfect place to go summer and have a beer.
Setting, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have a little brewery in there. And then I'm wondering where Peter, where are you like? So like, where are you kind of like helmed at with three things going on there?
Yeah, so I'm a director of director of operations basically, and so I spend most of my time in Cloverdale. We do about 95% of our brewing up in Cloverdale. Roger Herbst, who we just promoted to brewmaster, he was our quality manager before that, is directly responsible for running the brewing operations in Cloverdale as well as in the two brew pubs. But I spend most of my time up in Cloverdale. Once in a while, I scoot down south and hit the pubs to make sure everything's going smoothly. But you know, I live in Cloverdale, so it's a pretty sweet commute.
Oh, you do.
So
it's
nice. So these days, you spend most of your time coming up with new ideas for beers and.
We're really lucky as a team at Bear Republic. Yes. We have a lot of brewers who have phenomenal ideas. Roger Herbst has a heavy hand in lots of recipes. Rob Kent, our head brewer up in Cloverdale.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Lindecker, who is his brother Ryan, is our bar manager in Healdsburg. He certainly has a hand in some of our beers. So it really is a team mentality when it comes to coming up with beers.
Yeah, that's the way it was at Anchor, and you can't do it without a bunch of people coming up with ideas.
That's right. And, you know, these ideas, they don't happen in a void. I mean, I always say that beer is a craft more than an art, where it's technical, but it's also interpretive at the same time. And any craft requires some hardcore skills. Yeah. And those skills in a team environment really get grown quite quickly.
Yeah, so good point.
We've been
good
lucky.
Point.
And what is the guy who nobody gave a microphone to?
Jeremy.
Jeremy, what do you do?
He's got the toughest job at their brewery.
He really does. Him. I think so. I oversee marketing for the brewery. Joined 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And, you know, so we get to speak to our consumer. You know, we prefer the beer really talks, but with our voice, it's nice that we have this big family community in Cloverdale, in Healdsburg, in Rohnert Park. That really is a part of Sonoma County just from the roots. And so it's good for us that we get to really talk to our friends in a way that's like family. And because beer is supposed to bring people together and community-based, right? And so my job's actually really easy because the beer does it, if you ask
I mean, I know you've worked in other breweries doing marketing and sales type stuff before, because I've known you for a while. He's awesome. Nice catch there.
Yes.
And so how are things changing out there? There's so many breweries. There's so much competition. There, new laws are being peeled away from prohibition, laws every day, it seems, which is great. But then it also makes it more competition, makes it more fun for the beer consumer.
I think the largest change that's happening right now is how beer is getting to the consumer. I think a lot of brewers are pouring the beer and handing it over a bar rather than putting it on a distributor truck in many, many ways. So a lot of the newer brewers that are out in the world right now, they have their tap rooms and they self-distribute. Mm-hmm. With Bear Republic, we've been around for a little bit. And so we have a pretty wide distribution network, and we have a sales team that we can support that way. So it's the growth of craft is creating a lot more competition, but it's also creating competition that is really good and that older companies like us can learn from, you know, with the stuff we're doing at our brew pubs with our special beers and getting a little crazy with some of the recipes that might not have happened about 10 years ago.
I love this Spa Day Cucumber Gosa we are drinking right now. This is like, this must
cucumber.
Be. Yes. Isn't that good? So refreshing.
It's very, very good. And I think what, I'm going to let Peter talk to this, but it's, as Jeremy was discussing how the industry is changing, one of the things that we're recognizing that we needed to do better is actually start to respond to our customers. And this is only a pub release, meaning that we've, a lot of our friends in the beer industry these days are bringing their beer to a mobile canner or a canner comes to them. In our case, we decided to buy a canning machine and then take what I'm going to call our two little beta site breweries, because they are different and are bringing the beer to our canner and then releasing it at our pub. So the consumer can buy, I don't know, what was the release on this
year? We made 30 cases of that
30
beer.
Cases.
Of the Spa Day.
That's
Spa
it. Day. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Wow.
And
so it's only at the
pub. Much.
No.
No.
Yeah.
But you can buy it at the pub and bring it home, which is way different than the laws used to be even, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, huge.
So that in itself has been something I'm going to say that the old dog had to learn some new tricks from some of the younger guys out there and try to get people to recognize, hey, we can do this stuff too. And we have such a wonderful team, and I need to continue to just talk about how good it is to be part of this cooperative brew mindset, because some of the best ideas come from us just hanging out and doing like what we're doing right now and discussing where we're at. So this is an example. Well, PK, I'm going to let you talk about it because it's really good.
This is yummy.
Yeah, thanks. So Spa Day is, I was fortunate enough to judge at the Great American Beer Festival a couple of years. I judged contemporary Gosa style and came away really liking the concept of cucumber Gosa, but most of the brewers were using way too much cucumber and too much salt, and it came across very briny.
Or soapy. Some of them tasted like cucumber soap.
Exactly, yeah. So I think some of the lipids in the seeds carry through. So in this beer, we really wanted to do a balancing act, but really do a restrained presentation of both the cucumber and the salt, and let the malt shine through a bit more than some of those beers. We are doing a lactic fermentation on the wort for the first 24 hours.
Peak and then, alert. Explain that.
So
we have people stuck in their cars on the freeway in traffic.
Sure. So lactobacillus is a bacteria that sours things, yogurt and certainly canned sour beer. And so we take lactobacillus and we do an initial fermentation with that. Then we bring that beer into the kettle, reboil it to sterilize it, and add cool it down and add brewer's yeast to it. And then at the very end of fermentation, we add the cucumber to keep it as fresh and clean as possible.
So do you actually slice up cucumbers and toss it in there?
Hand by hand. Wow. No, we make a juice and add the juice.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Do you strain out the seeds?
We do strain the seeds, we sure do.
Let me ask about Racer 5, because that's an iconic beer. It has been for a long time. Was that one of the first ones Bear Republic made?
No, actually Red Rocket is what I thought was going to be our flagship, but you could ask the question, who drinks American Red Ales today, and you wouldn't find many people doing that. So it just has turned into one of those quintessential West Coast styles. It represents well. We have won many, many awards for this beer. And when people think of a West Coast IPA, Racer 5 is always listed in that group, you know, in the top two or three that you'll always hear about.
Yeah, so it's super popular.
And it's made right here, you guys. This is homegrown as best as you're going to get it. So,
You know what's really cool? You guys have, like, because you are you've been around so long, you've been distributed, you know, further out there. There's, like, you have a Japanese label. Like, it's, like, in Japanese, right? Am I correct?
Yes. Oh. We export currently right now to several countries, but Japan being one of our largest exports. So, it's just stuff we do for the custom markets, you know. We've done special labels for the UK. We've done collaborations. I mean, that's the beauty, I think, of what we've been able to do with the longevity. of where Bear Republic is. Let's just put it into perspective. Our license was in the first 500 within the U.S., and I believe we're above 6,500, 7,000 breweries now. Kind of puts it into perspective as to the age. And we're such a young industry, right? So, Peter, you had a number. What was the number of – when you put our brewing experience together, we like to say we've got – between the three of us, you add Roger, you got 75-plus years or something of brewing experience. But the industry is that young. I mean, we go back to guys like Fritz Maytag and how Anchor was a pivotal part of that growth, and we just happened to come along early on. So Peter and I are now considered – and we get this every once in a while – one of the older guys. But the old guys that we – I mean, we
– we remember when we were the young guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I wish I could remember when I was a young guy. I don't know. Mark, talk about Racer 5, though. Break it down. Why is it so popular? Why is it so good?
Well, as he said, there was early on the IPAs were coming into their own, and Racer 5 was there, and people wanted IPAs, and it was a good beer. It still is. I'm drinking one right now. Yep. I just cracked it. It's a great beer. It's got a nice balance, plenty hoppy enough, and nice malty flavor. But it's not like a San Diego IPA where it's just all hops.
Right.
It's a great beer. What are the hops, by the way?
So it's the classic C's: Centennial, Cascade.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then we do throw some of the newer stuff in there for aromatics. But what I'm
so gonna, it's developed over the year then.
It has to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it really does have to. You've got to be able to change because the crop changes every year. We could do a whole show on what we spend as a company talking about, thinking about, living it, smelling it, touching it, feeling it when we go and purchase hops every year. That is one of our biggest things we love to do.
I was just going to ask about that. So do you guys go up, like you and Peter, go up every – and Roger
we
now?
Go, yeah, we go. We always go in odd numbers because
Yakima,
it's very helpful. We go up to Yakima, Washington, 2 to 3 times per year in September. We go up for selection. And it's pretty cool, you know, that you walk into a room and it's brewer's cuts or cuts of that are cut directly out of a bale of hops that have been freshly harvested and kiln dried, and we're looking at 30 or 40 cuts on a table, and we get the opportunity to tear into them. And
sounds like a drug deal or something.
It is. In fact, we were at one broker. They had an Airbnb in Denver. They brought their cuts into Denver, and we were dropped off. But we were actually dropped off by an Uber driver who came in with us, and he thought it was a drug deal.
Yeah. So
all these green bales sitting around on the table was pretty spectacular. But yeah, so it's at a pretty amazing time of year to go up to Yakima and put our noses into bales of, you know, into bales of hops, and you know, get to do our selecting for the year. You know, Rich touched on the recipe formulation changes to Racer, and we do 2 or 3 tweaks a year to keep it contemporary, but also to keep it in the same theme. We are dealing with agricultural crops. We deal with a lot of different brokers and a lot of different growers. You know, we use about 500 acres worth of hops in Racer 5 per year, so we're dealing with a lot of different lots, and to get that to come out tasting the same or the way we intend it to be every time is a fun challenge.
I like that description, number of acres of hops.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
You know,
it's
it is. And you know, honestly, I think it's one of the biggest differences in brewing that I've seen in my career is hops. They were only developed for resistance to disease or bitterness, and now it's all about aroma. It's all about flavor, and the hop growers have really jumped on it. Because they get to make money at it,
yeah,
you know, it's really good.
Did you go up to
By
Yakima,
the way, one
Mark?
Quick note,
okay.
You know, the hop cuts do look like kilos of
no, they really
dope.
Do. They sure do.
I've seen them. Yeah, I tried smoking them
in 1965 when Fritz bought the brewery and was trying to get attention to it. He used to he had a little Porsche, and he used to drive around San Francisco with one of those on the passenger seat of his car, hoping to get arrested. Anything to get some PR.
That's
about
right.
The brewery.
Did you go up to Yakima for Anchor?
Oh, yeah. We went up there a lot.
Where else did you go? Or what was that? What's that like?
Well, Yakima, they're terrible. It's so hot during the harvest. It's just – And, you know, if you're from here, you're not used to it. And it's just hot as hell.
Is it hot?
I went to New Zealand for a harvest. That was great. That was nice.
I would have
said. It was great weather.
And they wouldn't take me. I'm going
to
go.
But it's fun because you actually get to see the hops growing. And then, as you say, stick your noses in them and just learn all about this product that you're using.
So when you smell a hop, like any of you brewer guys want to throw in. Okay, so when I cook. When I'm like, I go and I'm like, I mean, like, I'm like looking at herbs and things in my garden, or I see like, like walking through the farmer's market, and I see fresh fish, or I see fruits and vegetables, and I can actually like picture like the dish I want to do in my mind. When you're smelling hops, or Peter's nodding big time.
We have developed beers around hops that we've rubbed up in Yakima, mm-hmm. You know, in particular, there's a hop called Denali that's out in, and we had that we saw that on the vine in experimental stage and fell in love with it and pushed the grower to grow more of it, and we've worked that into a number of our beers now.
You know, I used to like a technique where I would take the hops home with me. Open up any light beer, you know, like Bud Light or Coors Light, put in a couple buds of hops and then close them up and leave them sit for – yes, because it was dry hopping with
sure.
the hop.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And because you're using a light beer, which had no flavor, you could really taste the hop. And I always liked that method because so often I'd be smelling and it just seemed like I wasn't getting a real feel for what the hop eventually would do, you know?
Yeah. Well, when we select, it's a very messy process.
Yeah.
both Rich and I learned early on that you really, when you rub hops, you really want to get them quite hot and open them up because they're very oily and the oils need to get sort of warmed up so that they flow to you. And, so at the end of it, we're basically, you know, green in our hands and hands.
And
beards and yeah, so.
And I'm just going to digress a little bit and tell you one story because it's a great story.
We like stories.
About
I'll tell
why.
You what. Hold on to that
okay,
thought.
Okay, good.
And when we come back from the break, we'll hear the story.
Cheers.
All right. Does it involve Carpenter?
It can.
It's the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha. Bear Republic. We got Rich and we got Peter and we got Jeremy.
Yes.
Okay, Jeremy's marketing. Peter's like Mr. Beer.
Yeah.
And Rich is the CEO.
Yeah, but I used to be the original brewer, and now I've got a whole team. So.
Very cool. And you and your dad started this 25 years ago.
You got it. And started out as a fun idea, and trying to convince my father to be my partner was probably one of the hardest things. And here we are now. So.
And talk about Rotor Park. Because it's just a wonderful location. It is so cool right on the lake, and there's so much going on and so much that you can do there, and you do, including live music.
We do. You know, what's fun about Rohnert Park is starting a brew pub in 1995 in downtown Healdsburg, that town has changed so much.
Hey.
What we've been able to learn from all of those years, we were able to put into the new brew pub. So... as my father was starting to wind down and we had multiple opportunities to do different things, he really pushed me to focus on trying to create a new center for us, a new location. And so we agreed. I had this crazy idea of building a brewery down in San Diego, and he talked me out of it so we could build Rohnert Park. What Rohnert Park represents, though, when you go in and you look at that brew house and what we tried to accomplish there is I want – every other brewer who walks in there to look at that and go, what does that do? What does that do? So from a brewing standpoint, it truly is something that we've been able to learn from, and it is a kind of an expression of some of these newer beers that we're doing. It really allows the brewer to play. I'm a big car guy, motorcycle guy, and anytime you have the opportunity to customize and make something new, that's exactly what we did. I mean, we literally, under Peter's direction, built the brewery in Cloverdale, set it up, like an Erector set, brewed on it, disassembled it, and reassembled it in Rohnert Park.
What's the brew size?
10 barrels.
So that gives you an opportunity to really play around.
Exactly. And so when I think about what my role is as the CEO, as the original brewmaster, I always had the opportunity to play with what I wanted to do, and no one told me what I couldn't buy, what type of equipment, ingredients, everything. And so I try to put that same energy into the team now. Just like any If I want to brew tomorrow, I can. You know, I can come up with any recipe I want. But I have a cadre of guys who are doing it better than me now, and I'm really proud of that. And so we just continue to move forward as a team.
So the cool thing also about the Roanoke Park location, they call it Beer Republic Lakeside, you are right by Sonoma State University, which I went to, and I teach the craft beer appreciation program over there. And so you have all these college age, you know, students coming in, a great spot for that. Lots of young families. It's a total kid family community. So, like, you know, with Jeremy with marketing and with you guys with brewing, like, what are they asking for? Like, what are you learning from these? I'm not going to call them hipsters right now. I'll just say just younger and a lot more. They seem a lot more like when I was in college. I mean, I was lucky. I got to drink some good beer. Nobody else was. I was drinking Belgian, but nobody else was. And it's very different now.
I'm just going to talk about freshness and quality.
Okay,
and that,
perfect.
That relates to the food, the way that things are presented. They want things that are going to be fun. And, yes, you can get the old standard, you know, Racer 5, Red Rocket. A lot of those beers are there.
Mm-hmm.
But the innovation portion of what the brewers are doing, us as a team, is – like the Spa Day, that is a great example.
Cucumber Gosa.
Yeah, the new hazy style of beers that we're doing. There's just something that someone can come in, and I guess I'm gonna date myself, but you go into some brew pubs and literally all of the beers kind of taste the same. They've got a little bit of a vein. My goal is to have one or two of them where you literally might go, oh, that's not for me. But what that does is it forces you to think about what is for you and where you're going to go after that. And so you educate your staff, you put those people in front of them, and give them the opportunity to try to express what the beer is going to do. Let the beer speak for itself. And at that point, they'll find something that they like.
Mark, talk about hazy beer. Explain that. And you're trying this, right?
Yes, and it's a very good beer. Very floral hoppiness
really
to it. It's just a great hazy beer. And there's different ways to make a hazy beer, and these guys can just describe what they do, but when we first started making Liberty Ale, we had a problem getting it clear.
Yeah.
We would have been great if hazy beer had been popular then, or we could have paved the way, but you couldn't sell a hazy beer in those days. So when you're using lots of hops and lots of malt, it makes it a little easier to make it hazy.
As you said, it does it on its own, really. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, lots of hops and protein make a permanent haze. Yeah. So.
And this one has such nice floral aromas to it. I think anyone would like this.
What's that called again?
It's called Further Through the Haze.
What's
the ABV on this? Because this is a double, right?
ABV is right on 8%.
Yeah.
So we make I'm going to say the base version or the IPA version of this, which is called Through the Haze. This one's Further Through the Haze. The graphics and the logos are very similar, except the colors have changed. This one, the green, is really trying to represent what you're getting in your nose and floral and everything. So from a visual standpoint, this beer, sometimes we actually, it's crazy. We get criticized for not having our beers as hazy enough. And I know Peter and I can both attest to this. We've spent our whole careers doing nothing but trying to make our beers clear. Racer 5, like Liberty, used to be hazy.
Yes.
And I couldn't sell it, and then people would return it. I mean, I have pictures of Racer where right now it was hazier than this, and times are changing. That's what we're seeing. It's just you got to be able to roll with it and understand what people want for flavors. And
speaking of labels also, too, that's a cool label, but you have something going on different here with your label. Because you usually did your own labels. Like you yourself, yep. Richard Norgrove Jr., drew your labels. Now you've got something like...
So Senior got a great deal when he took me on as a partner because I went to school for graphic
design.
Does he
think that?
Oh, I hope so.
Yes.
So from the beginning, I was the one doing all the labels. And now, I'm going to credit literally my daughter who worked at the pub. She's off in college now. And said, Dad, are you going to get any help? And in my restaurant team, I had a young guy who graduated and was a great graphic artist. Jeremy, I'm gonna have you talk about him because he's part of the newer marketing team, and he is the one that is pumping it out. So, Joe, if you're listening, we love you, and we really appreciate some of the new stuff that he's pumping out, and it's allowing me to focus on other things. It's hard to do art. It truly is.
Yeah, it really is. And as Rich mentioned, with Joe, he's a young man learning how to do graphic design, and he's very creative. And it helps that our whole team is creative and our marketing team of five, including Rich. But we sit down and we sort of brainstorm on, like, what we feel the beer is as a brand, and we try to come up with very unique visual representation of the beer and to represent the name. And so it's fun to see when we work on things like Further Through the Haze and Through the Haze, where we know they're going to be like a mass market beer for us. It's a very professional, detailed look, and we spend a yep. lot of time making sure it's all ironed out and really crisp and clear. With our brew pubs, we have these labels with the limited release, the one and done can releases that we have. It gives us a freedom to, number one, be very creative and more often than not silly. And number two, it gives us a really good way to give our marketing team an outlet for getting better and making like really fun designs and continue to grow. And it's consistent art.
So it is. And what's exciting about it for me is I had been doing it by myself for such a long time, and actually now have a team that can put these things together. We can come up with an idea, and it takes some of the pressure off as an artist to be able to actually do it. So for me, I started out as the original brewmaster, and I've been able to kind of develop the art into the next level. And when we come up with it, it's very much a new challenge every time the brewers now come back and say, hey, we have a new idea, a beer, a recipe. A lot of times I'll look at the recipe, okay, looks good. I know it's going to taste good. And then we have to figure out how we're going to label it. I didn't realize how – maybe that's one of the new dynamics and changes in the industry today is the visuals that – people want to see. They want something that relates or it's relatable.
Jumps off the shelf,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Very bright and loud in a positive way.
Or simple. Yeah.
And the TTB, mm-hmm. which is like they govern the labels, things have probably changed a lot from like, I mean, Mark, how hard was it to get a label through when you...
Oh, through the feds?
Yeah.
Not too bad, but it took time. It was, these days, I mean, it's got to be terrible with all the labels they're getting.
And names also.
Yes.
Like you can go in and get
sued
for names.
We could talk about names and the challenges that happen with names. But again, we've been doing this for a lot longer than everyone else. So we do have teams in place that can, if we come up with a crazy name and we can vet it very quickly. And then from there, we can move on to a design and an idea. But you got to remember, the two of them have to marry at some point. You've got to have the beer first. So it's always about the beer and then what we can do to support it. How do we support it? So these pub releases, they're really very fun. When you see some of the new ones that we're putting out that are for the mass distribution, and Bear Republic isn't that big. I mean, that's probably my father's biggest legacy is that early on in the industry, he created this image that Bear Republic was bigger than it was. And now that the industry has gotten to the point where everything is about uber fresh and uber small, and I'm trying to remind people how big we really are.
And you're still family owned, too.
And that in itself is a dichotomy these days, right? Because where do you see that? You just don't. Yes, we could have sold, but that's not what the intention was. The intention was to have a family business and
so you're talking a lot about like, okay, we've been doing this a long time. So what do you see things like in like 5 years from now, like, or 10 years from now? I mean, like, you know, like look at the difference between GABF and World Beer Cup and stuff. Just even like, in the few years I've been going, I can't even imagine the differences between like when you and Mark were judging now. What do you think the beer industry is going to be?
Well, I think what you're going to see happen, and I can speak from experience because we've gone through the ups and downs in the beer industry, is we're going to see those guys who got into it initially with the intention to potentially sell. They're going to realize after year three, year five, that it's work. I got in this to make great beer. That was my original reason. That's why Peter is sitting and has been with Bear Republic forever, because it was always about the beer. And at some point, that's going to flush out, and that'll just become a market thing that creates that. And we've already seen it. I think the days of the big sales are pretty much over. And now I'm ex-Army, so the battle is on the ground now. We're at a foot level, and it's about creating loyalty. If you're a beer drinker today, man, what exciting times, because you can get fresh beer locally everywhere. I mean, what? And that's what we had to remind ourselves. Yes, we do expand. We sell outside. We export to Japan, New Zealand, all these great things. But Sonoma County first. We got to remind ourselves. That's where we came from.
Jeremy, talk about some of the events going on the beach there in Rohnert Park. I saw that you're doing a luau in late August, and
yeah,
you guys
do live music, too. Yeah, we
do
live music, and it's usually every week we have some fun music happening at the pub. And in August 25th, we have our second anniversary luau party. So we're going to celebrate our second summer, our second year anniversary. Have some dancers, have a nice buffet-style luau. Just a great time to spend out on the patio, enjoy some Hawaiian-themed entertainment, and be with your friends and drink beer.
Actually, I forgot to, like, one of the great things also about the Lakeside is you have a full bar there.
We do.
You are doing some killer cocktails there. I had some really great – I had tiki cocktails at the luau last year. But, like, not a lot of brew pubs are doing a full bar as well as having a brewery in the bar. And, of course, that's, like, once again, I'm saying, like, rolling back prohibition, post-prohibition laws are you know.
We decided to – someday we will be sitting here talking about some Vera Public whiskey that we've been working on for over 10 years.
Oh, I have some.
Okay, so that in itself is a separate project that we've been working on for a while. Peter and I will do a separate show on that one, but we'll tease it. With that said, if you come into our pub in Rohnert Park, the opportunity for us to actually specialize and showcase craft cocktails, craft spirits, was the goal. So I would have you come in and try some of the cocktails that we've actually married with our beer. We've given that same level of creativity and freedom to the bar staff to
beer
be able
cocktails.
To have that fun.
Yeah, beer cocktails are getting really popular.
Super B. You know, come try a Racer Super B.
The NorCal Beer Festival is going to be August 3rd at the
During the fair.
So it's the third.
Is that the first time?
It's the third year of it. I've judged it every year. Thank you, which is like super fun. And so it's actually right by the racetrack. So horses, beer, which all works really well together. And you can go in there. It's a little extra fee for the ticket, but then you just get a cup and you get to taste. So I know that you guys are going to be there because I saw you guys there before.
Yep, for sure. We'll be there for sure.
And that's the third?
It's August 3rd. August it's part of the Sonoma County Fair. Yeah, and it's the competition itself, because it was a competition, is the NorCal Beer Festival, and then that is part of the Sonoma County Fair.
All right. Again, they are in Healdsburg, and they are in Rohnert Park at on the lake, Rogers Lake Road.
Yeah. You got it.
It's Bear Republic going on 25 years. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Great to meet everybody. Yeah. And we'll have you again soon.
Thank you very much.